What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And today we're kind of doing an old school episode where we used to just get fired up about something, the three of us, after watching a documentary or reading a book. And we're going to talk about it. We all watched the documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. And boy, we had a lot of thoughts. Gosh. About it.
And shout out to one of our helpsters, Brandon, who actually messaged me on Instagram saying, you guys have to watch this and you'll probably want to do an episode on it. And then I watched it. I was like, you guys, have you seen this? You have to watch it. And they were like, we should do an episode. So anything about social media, you know, I'm super interested in. But yeah, it was fascinating.
It's still trending and on Netflix in the top 10. I think it's been in the top 10 for a while. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everyone's talking about it.
Goodness. Should we kick it off with a quote?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. This one was submitted by one of our wonderful helpsters, Melanie, on Patreon. So if you want to submit quotables to us, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless. And the quote is from Deepak Chopra. Did I say that right?
Deepak Chopra.
Chopra. Oh my God. Deepak Chopra. I knew that, but it's, you know, it's the morning.
And this is why it's called Self-Helpless.
We're trying our best. I knew it was wrong. The worst thing you can say about another contains some truth about yourself.
Ooh, that's really good.
So good.
That is really good.
It's like we've heard that. If something bugs you about somebody else, it's usually something that you do. Right?
Yeah.
What is that? Why can't, doesn't that seem weird?
Yeah. If you have an insecurity sometimes, like in relationships, it's you projecting because you feel that way. And you go, what if they feel the way I feel?
Right. Isn't it weird to think though that like if you know that you do something, that you'd be more understanding that somebody else does it?
Well, maybe like that? Maybe it's subconscious.
You're just not aware that you even do it. Oh, yeah. That's why it's bugging you.
Yeah. I think you have to be very, very in touch with yourself to be able to see that. Because I think inherent just being, if you're feeling bitter about something or spiteful, you're not usually tapped into why you're feeling that way, right? Like you're using a different part of your brain when you're like, ah, that fucker,
you know? Right. You're not in your Zen moment. You're in like reactive brain mode.
Right. Lizard brain. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's not a meditation.
Trying to fuck it up. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Tay, do you want to talk about just like the background of this documentary?
Yes. So if you guys haven't seen it, first off, what are you doing? It's in the top 10. It's right there. Netflix has made it so easy for you. Yeah. It's a documentary drama hybrid. So it's mostly a documentary, but there are parts that are sort of like dramatizations of what they're talking about. I'll be honest, didn't love that.
Didn't love the personification of algorithms?
Of the algorithms?
Oh, no, I liked that part. I thought that was fun.
You like that? Okay.
The acting, you mean?
I didn't like the acting. I didn't like the, like, family at the dinner table, like, after school special aspect of it. I didn't like seeing all these actors I'd seen in something.
can't pinpoint their name.
I'm like, what? Who is that kid? It's just gonna bug me now, and I can't focus. And like, now I'm Googling it, and now I'm looking if they have an Instagram, and now I'm doing the thing the documentary's telling me not to do. I just didn't. I didn't love that part. But the documentary dives into the negative human impact of social media and networking. So they have tech experts providing testimonials on their own creations. So it's being marked as a modern age horror film documentary, and it holds many hidden and unspoken truths about the modern digital world. I would say it's definitely a modern horror documentary. I mean, they really build it up in the beginning with all these people who used to work for Google and Facebook, and they're kind of like implying like, well, we've been talking to lawyers for years and I had to make sure I could say something. And you're like, I mean, they could have just blurred your face, man. Like, this is right. Although Google probably has an app that unblurs your face. So
God, right.
Probably. It's almost like somebody created Frankenstein and they're like, oh shit. How do we get this monster out of here?
Yeah. In the words of Slim Shady, I created a monster. But yeah, I mean, that is the vibe that they all had, where they're like, oh God, we had really great intentions when we set up XYZ, and no one predicted that it was going to turn everybody's brains into oatmeal.
Probably did.
Here we are. And I'm sure it's so, like, you can see how conflicted some people were, because social media has done so many great things. It's connected people. It's raised money for things. It's done all this stuff. But there's this really dark side to it as well. And
Tay, will you share what you said? Because we were kind of all group texting as we were watching it. What did you say that was so funny when you were like, you're like, I'm watching the social media documentary as I'm on.
Oh, was fully on like Twitter and Instagram, like, which is how I watch things now.
Yeah. If,
you know, they're not super engrossing. I mean, even if something's new and engrossing, I'm almost like annoyed when I have to watch something with my full attention by myself. When there's someone else there, it's easier because you're like, but like, I have a really hard time just not checking my phone at all. I mean, usually at some point you have to pee and then you check your phone and it's fine. Mm-hmm. That's why I miss going to the movie theater, because it forces you to sit in the dark and stare at the screen. But yeah, I mean, I was like texting you guys during it going like, this is scary. And like through Instagram. And you know, they said things in this documentary that I was like, oh shit. Like when they talked about, the addictive nature of like the actual like scrolling with your finger and how that like, you know, gives you like a hit every time you get a new post. I spent like the next day on Instagram for like hours. Like I was on and off of it throughout my day.
Yep.
Too much, fully knowing. And I was like, oh, they're right. This does feel good. Like crazy. Wow. I mean, that's why TikTok's so addictive, because you're just
scrolling.
It's not good.
Yeah, it's interesting how they purposely make it like a slot machine. Like that's all engineered on purpose. And I thought it was very telling that all these people who work for these companies don't let their children on social media. That was a big theme. Like, nope, my kids are not allowed on there. We do not allow screen time, or it's very, very restricted. And that says a lot. It's like somebody, you know, it's like somebody who works at a restaurant and doesn't eat the food. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Like, we don't have McDonald's. We just sell
McDonald's. Right.
In this family.
Oh my gosh. So according to the Pew Research Center, 69% of adults and 81% of teens in the U.S. use social media, and this puts a large amount of the population at an increased risk of feeling anxious, depressed, or ill over their social media use. So I think that was why some of those act outs that you weren't a fan of, Taylor, was kind of beneficial, because you saw that, like, the teenage daughter kind of react to different people's posts, and you could see her, you know, just her self-esteem kind of, you know, deflate over.
Yeah, but do we need
conveyed differently?
Right. Do we need that? Like, we've all been bullied, you know? Like, we get it. We don't need to see, like, the fade of, like, all the comments swirling around her head. Like, we get it.
I love that part. I don't know if this is the exact same part we're talking about, but when she's just looking in the mirror at herself, that teenage girl, I'm like feeling emotional even thinking about it. Yeah, I teared up watching that, because I just, I feel like we've all felt like we're not enough on social media, and just watching, like, imagining being that young, because they said that if you're born after 96, so that's the first generation of middle schoolers who are in middle school with social media. Yeah. Tay wiping her brow, like, just God. But God, in therapy, we talk about it as compare and despair. And that, I always think of that with social media, where it's just, so much compare and despair. And oh, my heart broke watching that act out of that young girl just looking at herself in the mirror, scrutinizing herself, and just, you could see her feeling like, why can't I be prettier?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the scene where I know Taylor was not a fan of these. They could have just cut those out and had your commentary in there. Look, we've all been bullied. Okay. I thought it was so fascinating how the algorithms can literally see who you've been looking at the most and who got your attention. So when you start using the app less, they can start showing you notifications from those people to reel you back in. So that scene where he's like, it's like, oh, your ex-girlfriend is in a new relationship, to get him back into using his app. I'm like, holy shit, that is wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I knew that they were monitoring things, right? I feel like most of us are aware of that. I didn't understand the degree to which they were, where they are calculating how long you spend looking on each post.
Yes.
That freaked me the fuck out. I was like, wow, that is so deep down the rabbit hole of nothing is a coincidence of what you're seeing on social media. Everything is very carefully put through an algorithm to go in front of your eyeballs.
Right. They talked about how the product that we're selling is your behavior for impressions, for products. Like, that's crazy.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, that was such a good quote. I forget who said it, but the quote that they had on screen where they said there are only two businesses that refer to their, like, clientele as users, and it's social media and like
software
drug dealers.
Goosebumps. Yeah. I wrote that one down because I was like, we got to talk about that quote. That was just like, oh my God, we are totally, we're users.
So crazy. And I mean, we've all talked about how if we take a break from social media, we usually feel a lot better. We feel less stressed, you know, less, you know, Taylor, I think you mentioned recently that you just feel, well, I know that I feel like I'm doing things at my own pace and I don't have to rush. I feel like this sense of urgency when I'm on social media and I see people doing a bunch of things, especially if you follow people who are maybe in a similar field as you. And when I shut that out, I feel like, there's no competition or comparison here. It's my own timeline.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think you feel better, but also what we're going to talk a little bit more about now is that you can feel worse, I think, when you're off social media in certain ways because of FOMO. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I think that it's so tough to even talk about, cause I don't want to sound like we're only talking about people in entertainment. Cause I know people who aren't in entertainment. Like I have friends who aren't on social media or they have one that's just blank that they use to like check on their friends and they just like don't even think about posting, which is such a foreign concept to me. But when you work in entertainment, you have to post on social media unless you're like very famous already. But it's a big part of our job. But I've realized that what I need to do going forward is just reframe it and go like, okay, if you're on there posting or responding to comments or messages, that's productive. That's work. But how long does that actually take? Not that long.
True.
So every other time that I'm on social media, just like scrolling, refreshing, checking things out, like I never come away from that time feeling like I've accomplished anything or even like gained anything. I don't even feel fulfilled. Like the only time that I really feel like, oh, this is good, this is worth it, I'm glad I have it, is like if I have time to kill, I'm really tired, like in an airport or something, and I'm like too tired to be productive, yeah, but I just want to like relax or wind down. But the problem with that is, you know, the time that I most want to wind down and relax and not think about anything, and when I go to like, you know, TikTok or something or Instagram to just look at things, it's like when I'm trying to go to bed. So then you're up for another hour because you're staring at the screen, and it's like, I mean, it's like, it really is. It's like sugar where you're like, oh, when I don't do this thing, I feel better, but it's so addictive and it feels so good in the moment that I just keep doing it, even though I know this isn't going to make me feel good.
Yeah.
Well, and we forget too that so many of these apps started at sort of a foundational level. Like think about Instagram. And at first it was just posts and that was it. And then they introduced stories and then Instagram TV and now Reels. Right. So it would be so much easier if it was just back to the basics of all you can do is post or look at other people's posts. But now as people who are having to use social media for our work, we feel an extra pressure to add to our stories and then respond to messages from the stories or go see who's watching it. And it's constant. I mean, it's just so much.
Yeah. I know because I've done a lot of research because I within the last few months I deleted my Facebook and my Twitter account and I just have Instagram now. And before that I did a lot of research because I'm, you know, as a business owner, social media is a great tool for my business as well. And I just kind of saw that what like Instagram was way more beneficial and effective than Facebook and Twitter. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get rid of these two and I'm just going to maximize the one that's really working and go from there. And then I was able to introduce, okay, I'm going to do an email list and blog too, because I'm excited about those. And I feel much better about connecting with people on there because there's no algorithms getting in the way and stuff like that. And I did a lot of research on people who left social media because I'm like, I need all my research before I make a move like that people's businesses can still, you know, succeed and everything. And a lot of people say you go through some pretty gnarly withdrawals the first couple of weeks and then you get over that hump and then you feel like your life has completely changed, your business skyrockets, you grow, all of these things. Mm-hmm. So I'm my plan for now is my plan is to leave Instagram as well over the course of the next year as I build up some other things. And the only way I'll keep it is if somebody else is running it and we are using it very intentionally for business, but I will not be on there. I do love connecting with people, but I know that if I build up my other platforms, I will be able to connect with them, you know, in the same way over there in a way that makes me feel better and less stressed. And so I just thought it was interesting kind of doing that research. Like, yeah, there is withdrawals, like you are getting off of a drug, like just expect that.
So, have you felt that?
Have I? No, because I still have Instagram and I wasn't really using Facebook or Twitter. So I don't feel like I'm fully off. I'm very restrictive. Like I go on there, I post and I respond to comments and messages and then I'm out. I don't do really any scrolling, which the algorithm fucking hates me for, you can tell, because I don't look at people's stuff. And so my shit does not get seen very much.
Oh, God.
And I also because I got banned for like 6 weeks. Remember my shit got taken off for 6 weeks because my bio had said I sell unsolicited dick pics for a living when I was, you know, running Dicks by Delaney. So I feel like my shit is already kind of in a weird spot, which is fine. But I will only really look at my client's stuff to see what they're up to and congratulate them on stuff. And I've pretty much I've muted most people and I just see close family and friends and my clients, because those are the people that I do want to, you know, connect with for the, you know, when I'm on there. But, I don't know. It's a hard thing to balance for sure.
Yeah.
Tay, I was going to ask you, you know, in the last year, your social media numbers have skyrocketed from the special coming out. Has your relationship with social media changed since you've gotten more followers? Do you feel like more addicted at all to social media because now there's that many more people, there's that many more likes and notifications, or how has it impacted you?
I think it's more pressure, and because it's really only been like the last 6 months that it's been going up so steadily. And I think once that happened, when it started to taper off more, or like weeks that I don't get as many followers per day, I start to feel really anxious and I go like, oh, I'm not building anymore. I'm stagnant and I gotta figure something out. I gotta post a video or something. And that's not good. But you know what? I've realized like, oh, if you don't post for a while, nobody's gonna care. Yes, you might not grow during that time, but nobody's gonna go, you haven't posted in a week, we're gone. You know, like that's not gonna happen. And there's so many people on social media, just like, I was this person, I was posting like every day for a while. And at a certain point I was like, this is just another job for me every day. This is like a chore now. And so now I try to just post when I want to. And sometimes that's 3 days in a row. And sometimes it's like once or twice a week. And it's been a lot better for me. But for a while I was like, oh, I got to be doing this every day. When I was working with a social media company, I mean, they send you a calendar every week of like, you post this day, you post that this day. How about you post this day? And it just starts to feel like that's your job. And you're like, I don't like my job. I don't like this job.
Yeah.
What's good about your guys' stuff though, is that so much of it is very evergreen. Like you post your stand-up clips and they are out there and getting seen by a lot of people. And so even if you go off for a week or a few days, people are still able to find you and follow you. And like, you can still kind of grow that way.
You know? Yeah, that's true.
So the social media company you work with, they are of the mindset that if you're trying to grow, you should be posting every day versus, because sometimes, Tay, you and I've talked about that when we start posting every day, that's when we can see us losing followers more as well, because it's just kind of like the odds that you're going to be putting something out that somebody's like, I don't want to see this anymore. But they think it's best to still post every day.
That's what they told me. I said that to them where I was like, I feel like sometimes I post every day and people get like annoyed. paid, like it's too much, which I get. I've been that way with people where I follow someone and I go like, I mean, I like them. They just post too much and I just don't need to see them every single day. And they were like, no, we've never seen that. Like if you post like 3 times in a day, that's excessive. But if you post once a day, it's not a big deal. And I'm sure it depends on who you are and what you do. But yeah, I just feel that way. I just feel like if I post every couple of days, even instead of every day, it's better.
Yeah.
You don't want to annoy people.
Right.
I
let it breathe.
I definitely have FOMO. And like, I think I want to peace out before my following gets bigger. That's the goal. Unless I find that it's going to be really effective for my business and we test out a few things. But I will have FOMO because for me, it legitimizes, I feel like it legitimizes my business a little bit. If somebody finds me and they see, oh, this is how many followers she has, or that she's connected to this podcast or she, whatever. For me, it feels like it gives me like an extra credit, which is so dumb, but I do have people find me on there. And so I'm kind of concerned about leaving for that reason, that there won't be like enough social proof that I'm good at what I do or something weird, which I don't like that. And so I think, you know, that's kind of a belief I'm going to have to get over. But I think if I build up some other stuff, I will feel a lot more confident. And, you know, as far as my clients and stuff, depending on what their goal is, which majority of them are, you know, service-based businesses, product-based businesses, I tell them, they get very stressed out about social media when we first start working together. And I say, look, I want you spending pretty much zero time on social media. Like that should be the least amount of time you are spending with your business operations. I want it to be the afterthought, the last thing you do. And that's that, because depending on what your goal is as a business owner or whatever your project is, followers do not equal money. Followers do not equal sales. So you might have 5,000 followers and nobody's interested in what you have to offer, or you might have like 500 and you're getting business inquiries. It's all about being very intentional with what you're posting. So I think people need to know that more too, that just because somebody has a shit ton of followers doesn't mean that's going to convert into money. I think people see like influencers and they're like, oh my God, they're probably killing it and their business is blowing up. And that might not necessarily be the case. And so I think anybody who feels shitty about their social media following should really remember that, because a lot of people feel horrible thinking that they can't run a business if they don't have all of the platforms with tons of people and stuff like that. Like I've said before on the show, I know somebody personally who has 1.5 million Instagram followers who can barely make rent. And I know somebody with 500 followers who charges $10,000 per client. What life do you want? That's up to you. It depends on your goal. It depends on your goal.
Did you just say $10,000 a client?
Yeah.
I want to know who that is when we're
off. I'll tell you off the record. That's personal info.
Does that include like they go down on you? Like what, how could you possibly charge 10 grand?
High ticket.
Yeah. Is it OnlyFans?
High ticket consultant. Yeah. So that's the thing is like, what are your goals? Do you want, look, if you want to be an influencer, you want to get brand deals, you want to do all those things and it's fun for you, great. Grow your followers, do all that. If you want to run a successful business, you just have to use it intentionally. If you're charging 10 grand a client, you need a few clients a year. You don't need 5 million Instagram followers. So I like to tell people that up front because they get so discouraged about not growing on social media. I'm like, no, no, no. Forget social media right now. We need to focus on your business, your actual business. Do you have clients? Do you have customers? That shit does not matter. That is a facade. So don't worry about that stuff, you know?
Go ahead, Kels.
There's like 6% of people see your shit on Instagram. 6% dude. I'm not letting my clients spend all their time on there when only 6% of people seeing their shit. Okay. Guess what? Email list, that's like 35%. So if you talk to any entrepreneur, you're getting 80% of your sales from your email list anyway. And your blog, if you have a blog, that's evergreen content. Nobody can take that away from you. I mean, I was stripped of my Instagram account with 10,000 plus followers right before a launch that I was really excited about, and I couldn't contact anybody.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They can take it away from you at any second. You've got to make sure you own your shit.
Right.
Sorry, I get real fired up about this.
I know, that was very informative and helpful.
It was informative. Yeah, we appreciate it, man.
I have a question.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I had a question for you, Kelsey, because I think you were doing this even before quarantine, but I noticed that in the last year you were like getting really intentional about like doing a lot of stories where you were like talking more to people and like checking in or just talking about funny things that were happening or the cats or whatever.
And I remember, the cats.
You know, well, you know, they're in a lot of them. And I remember thinking like, oh man, I remember I felt guilty for not doing more of that, because I was like, oh, that's what you should be doing. Like, you should be doing stories so people check in with you every day, because that's even better than posts. It's like more engaging and they feel like they know you. And like, Whitney's another person who's just like always has a super long Instagram story and just kind of like could, it's always just part of her day. She just pulls out her phone at some point and films it, and then like it doesn't even upload them right then. I think she does it later. But the stories thing, I mean, are you still doing that? Have you stopped doing that? Like really thinking about it? Or do you now just go like, I'm only going to do this when I have something to say? Because we also talked about, the three of us, I feel like at some point we all stopped kind of watching stories because we were like, this is, there's no end to this.
Yeah. I don't watch a ton of stories. And I don't go into my day thinking like, what am I going to put on stories today? I think it just became a muscle, which I'm like, oh, I hate that I've developed this part of my brain, but it just became something I was more aware of, where it was like, oh, this would probably fit well to talk about in stories. It's not always that I'm trying to put something on there for a laugh. Sometimes I genuinely like connecting with my followers. It's fun to do things like making a playlist with my followers. I think at the beginning it was like doing a quarantine. And it's fun to have people be like, oh shit, that's my favorite song too. Or with my dad and him playing trumpet, I've really enjoyed doing that, where I'm like, what other songs with trumpet do you guys think would be fun for my dad to try and learn? And we compiled the longest list, and that stuff actually does bring me joy, I guess. But there are days where I don't post things on stories, and then there are days by the end where I look at it and I'm like, wow, I ended up putting a lot on here today. I didn't even really realize I was doing it. But I don't know. I guess it's just become kind of out of habit now.
Yeah.
I love doing the Q&As. I've only done a few of them, but that is something I would like to do more, because that
too
feels like I am interacting with people and I'm answering questions that they have. And that feels very intentional for me. And, but it's like, yeah, I might only be doing that for a certain reason. That might be business related. I might be giving that free advice or whatever, but I will sign on for a very particular purpose. For example, I did a Q&A and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a couple hours. I'm going to answer as many questions about this specific topic as I can. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about a workshop I'm doing. And it was filled in less than an hour because I just did it for a very specific purpose, told them about what was going on, and then you know, booked everything. So I think it's just about framing your relationship, like you guys said, with social media. What is the intention behind what you're, what's your big goal, and reverse engineer your goal and use social media as that tool to help you get there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to do those Q&As more often too. And I kind of forgot about them until we just talked about them. And those are fun. But I think I got to a point with those too, where I was like, am I doing this too much? But I know people who do them like 3 times a week. And I do like it when people do it, that I like following. Cause I'm like, oh, this is fun. I didn't know that about you.
Right.
I
think as long as you're using social media the way, in a way that you be the person that you'd want to follow.
Yeah, that's a
quotable.
Sure.
It does feel good, especially during a dark time like the pandemic and quarantine, to use social media to bring happiness to other, like, and I talked about that with my dad doing the trumpet videos a couple episodes ago, but to get so many messages and comments of people being like, I was having such a shitty day and seeing this really like made me smile and laugh. Thank you. That I love that. That makes me happy if we can make people happier for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I was going to ask you another question, Tate. With your social media growing so much, have you felt that people treat you differently now, or do you feel like people mm-hmm. try to like find ways to be on your Instagram, or like maybe our listeners who don't know or aren't in this entertainment industry know this term, but there's a thing called climbers, where people refer to people that are just trying to like use people to get their following bigger as a climber. Right. Have you experienced that more since your special came out?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's not anything that like upsets me really, because I get that when someone has a big following, you kind of go like, oh, I hope we've done that with this podcast where we've had people on and we go like, well, they have a big following. I hope they, you know, repost that they were on the show.
Totally.
So that would help. So I do get it. And again, most of this time that I've had a bigger following has been in quarantine.
Right.
So, you know, I haven't dealt with it that much. But yeah, I mean, I think that's always there in this business. I mean, I did have one thing recently where somebody asked me to sort of like trash somebody on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that was hard for me because I had to just be very direct with them and say like, I don't really want to handle it that way, but if you'd like me to do this or that, I can do that. And they were really upset with me and accused me of not helping people who were less successful in this business. And we talked it out and it was fine and they apologized, but it was really hard because sometimes when you don't do what people want on social media, which is just like, get more eyes on whatever feeling they're having. They like take it out on you, and I've experienced this in other ways over the years where I've, you know, gotten opportunities and then people I was close to or thought I was close to got upset with me for not getting them the same opportunity when maybe I had tried or I couldn't, or, you know, or they didn't know I had, or they weren't right for something, like it, whatever. It's just, it's very complicated. But yeah, social media, I think that probably happens in middle school. There's probably kids with 2,000 followers that are very popular because that's a lot for sixth grade. And maybe yeah. their friends are like, I have 50. Can you just, you know, like it's all, social media is such a perfect representation of that. Like, look who I'm with. I mean, we've all talked about that. I feel like, Delaney, you experienced that a lot as well when you were doing stand-up, where there were a lot of people who wanted other people to see you were friends. And like, Kelsey, you've said that too, like that there were people who kind of made you feel like, oh, you like looking like we're friends, or you're friends with everybody, or you're friends with people who are at mm-hmm. a certain level, et cetera.
Right. Which is funny because I've never been like well known. I've never had like a shit ton of social media followers where people are like, ooh, got to get in a picture with her so I can get tagged. But even at the, you know, the level I've been at, yes, I've experienced that a little bit. Yeah. And it's a kind of jarring because I'm like, these numbers don't like mean anything significant. Yes, they're a great tool, but like, you know, you can still be right. an asshole and have a million followers. It doesn't mean, like, I think people really put a lot of their worth into the followers on social media, and I think it's fucking a lot of kids up. And yeah. I get concerned for all my siblings. They're 18, 17, 13, 14. They're all teenagers growing up with social media. And it's a little weird to, like, you know, see their stuff and see the comments from other kids and just they're growing. Yeah. They are raised with this type of thing as being part of their day to day. And I just hope that their, you know, self-esteem remains intact and they can stay grounded with this being part of like their culture, you know?
Yeah. Cause right. we're adults. We got this stuff as adults.
Yeah.
And we're still like, oh, that bums me out. Like, I've been trying to really think about why I want to post something, no matter what it is, because I've noticed that sometimes I only post things because I'm sad and I want feedback.
Right.
And that's okay sometimes. There's sometimes where I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'm sad. I would like to feel better.
But likes. That's fine.
Likes, it's fine. But if you're doing that all the time and that's becoming a habit for you, you don't want that to become this, like, you know, little water spigot in your hamster cage.
Oh, like, you know what they said. Yeah. In the documentary, like if you are sad and you're doing it and you feel emptier after you do it, then that might be an issue. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like, if it helps and it's like, oh, that actually boosted my day or whatever. All right. There's probably an argument to keep doing that a little bit. But if you find that you are doing it and then it's just, it doesn't, not only does not help, but it makes you feel worse. Then right. it might be time to kind of look at other, you know, other methods and stuff. And this stat was surprising. According to the Royal Society of Public Health, social media has been described as more addictive than cigarettes and alcohol.
Because no one said that, like, my job is to get drunk.
Right.
That is my job.
Right.
God damn.
Except for what? Drunk history guy, right?
Oh, that's true.
yeah. And smartphone users have an average of 7.4 social media apps on their phones. How many do you guys have on your phones?
I mean, so many. And like, define really? Social media app.
Sure.
Because yeah. I bought the Face App Pro last night to see what I'd look like with bangs. Like,
maybe like how you connect with people. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, email.
Yeah.
Pinterest, you know.
Does email count?
Email, I think, should probably count.
I'm looking at my screen right now to see 1, 2, 3, 4.
I have.
Oh, Christ. I mean, probably 10.
Really?
Well, again, I guess it's like define that, but.
What are they? If you feel comfortable.
Facebook. Would you count something like a photo app, not like taking photos, but like things with fun filters as
I think just media? Like anybody, like if you sign in, people have access to you. So I don't know. We could not count that if that's easier. Like for me, I have email, Instagram, and I also use Voxer to connect with my operations manager. And those are my social media apps, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I have email. Does Postmates count? No, I'm joking.
Are they your friends, Taylor?
I have email, YouTube, which I think technically counts, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. So 6, I believe.
Okay.
So yeah. I also turned on my screen time thing on my phone, and that was a mistake.
That's always a mistake. Always.
Tracker, ouch.
Always a mistake.
Oh boy. Oh wow. People upload 5 million images every day on Instagram. Holy shit. And more than 500 million tweets are sent out every day.
That's nuts.
Holy shit.
People spend about 15 minutes every day on YouTube.
That seems low.
That seems very low.
Yeah, I don't agree with that one.
They're just averaging out how much time I spend on YouTube versus how much time like my mom spends on YouTube. Yeah, and then they get to 15 minutes.
Well, I was going to say, I don't watch YouTube, but Cam will show me his TikTok stuff. So I don't sign into YouTube. So maybe they're counting for people like me, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. But you do see some stuff. The average person in the United States spends almost a fourth of their workday on social media. This is for non-work related activities.
Yikes, bro.
That's what, 2 hours of their workday.
I don't have lips anymore.
Oh my gosh.
I love
some of the tips though that all these people gave at the end of the documentary, all the different tech people. Would you like me to rattle some off for our listeners?
Yeah.
So they recommend turning off notifications. You don't need to be notified about every little thing. Uninstall the apps that you don't use, which, you know, very helpful. Yeah, I've taken off notifications. Oh, there's also something on Facebook, even though I don't have it anymore. This is what I use before leaving. It's called like Newsfeed Eradicator or something. And you can install it on Facebook. And when you sign in, there is no newsfeed. So you have to just sign in, post your shit, and bye-bye. Or you can like message people, but you don't even see anything. So that's another one if you guys are Facebook.
I mean, I don't know if I'm still scrolling through Facebook.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Everybody's
there for you.
Okay.
Dungeon. I logged onto Facebook last week to promote my shows in Portland. And the first notification said, human hair for sale near you in Los Angeles. I was like, good to see that the dungeon of the internet is still thriving.
God.
I didn't know people like use it to make wigs, but it just in written form, human hair for sale. I was like, this is very on brand for Facebook.
Oh my gosh. That is funny. Oh, one of the guys recommended Quant instead of Google. Never heard of it, but apparently there's something called Quant and they don't store your search history. So they can't like pop up and show you shit. Fascinating. They also recommend always choose your next video. So if you're watching YouTube and they're like, oh, YouTube's recommended all these things, don't select the recommended stuff. Just go and search for the next thing because I guess that feeds the algorithm or something like that. And before you share any information, preventing the fake news stuff, just fact check, do the extra Google, check the source. Keep in mind that you are voting with your click. So if you're clicking on clickbaity things and stuff like that, you will see more of those things. And they recommend following people that you disagree with as well, like following a well-rounded like information. So you're not just getting one side of everything, getting you all, you know, angered up. And this one is for specifically families. They say this is justified by the research when you're talking about your kids and teens and stuff. They recommend for everybody, really, no devices in the bedroom at a certain time. So if 8 p.m. is your time, leave the bedrooms out. You can get a regular old-fashioned alarm clock if you have to. And one of the guys recommends no social media until high school. He recommends age 16. And work out a budget with your kid, like have them be part of the conversation. So if you ask, hey, how much time do you think you should spend on social media every day? Let's talk about it. And let's talk about the time that would happen. So they feel included and not, you know, that they just have no say in the situation. And they mentioned that kids are usually pretty reasonable. They don't want to be spending their whole day on there. So some good tips, I felt. Good takeaways.
Oh yeah. Well, we have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from Maya Papaya. She says, love this. I started listening to this podcast during the pandemic and it has helped me feel so much less isolated. I feel like I have 3 new friends and have told all of my real life friends about this podcast. Take care of yourselves and please keep posting episodes. Oh, thank you so much.
Very nice.
Very, very kind of you.
Sweet of you.
Thank you. Please go leave us an iTunes review if you haven't yet. Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and go check out The Social Dilemma on Netflix. Send us messages on the Self Helpless Podcast Instagram account. Let us know what you think.
Yes.
Cool. All right. I'm about to record another episode. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We really appreciate it and would love anything you can do to help the show grow and get the word out. So if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, that helps us move up the iTunes charts. If you can tell a friend, a coworker, a family member, anybody that you think would love the podcast, you can also screenshot an episode and share it in your Instagram, Instagram stories, anything helps. Also, if you want more of the show, if you want bonus episodes, if you want to be able to be more interactive and help choose podcast topics, you can go to patreon.com/selfhelpless and join there. You guys can follow me on Instagram @KelseyCookComedy, on Twitter @KelseyCook. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, which has links to my online makeup course. You can listen to my album, Savor It, on Spotify and iTunes. And you can watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. How about you guys? Where can people find you?
You can follow me @TaylorTomlinson on Instagram and Twitter. My website is ttomcomedy.com. And you can watch my 1-hour special streaming on Netflix right now called Quarter Life Crisis.
Awesome. And you can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. That's where you'll find information about my one-to-one consulting and my online courses. So basically, if you're a business owner, podcaster, or comedian, and you're looking to either start those things or grow those things, you can reach out to me for more information. I also have an email list at DelaneyFisher.com where I share my favorite tools, tips, treats, and free shit. And then we just want to say a big special thank you to our wonderful editor, Emma Erdbrink, and our fantastic associate producer, Humaira Nawaz.
And you can find everything that we all just mentioned at selfhelplesspodcast.com.